This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com. Hello, welcome to Startup to Success. My guest today is Madison Brightwell, who's a therapist and an actress. She specializes in helping people with trauma, pain, and addiction. As someone with a lifelong passion for the creative arts, as an actress, singer, writer, and a dancer, Madison has put together a highly creative virtual retreat that marries together her creativity with a therapeutic approach. Madison, I am so excited to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. Yes, thanks for having me.
What a unique combination. I mean, an actress and a therapist. I can't even wait to dive into how your journey began and where you started from. But before we jump into all of that fun stuff, my favorite thing to ask is, what inspired you? What's your why?
Well, let me just tell you a little bit about me, and that might tell you what the why is. So all I ever wanted to be when I was a little child was an actress. And I was an actress, professional actress for 20 years. And I loved it. But there was also kind of something a little bit missing. And the missing part, I think, was the more the meaning or the purpose or the giving back, that kind of aspect. Because I've always been very spiritual and also very empathetic. So then about 15 years ago, I trained and became a therapist. And sometimes people do say, yeah, what a unique combination. But actually, when you think about it, acting, just like therapy, is actually all about empathy. Because when you're acting, you have to kind of get inside the head of the person that you're portraying, you know? You have to understand them. Where are they coming from? What makes them tick? Why do they do those things? And you also kind of have to love them. I mean, even if you're playing Lady Macbeth, which I have done, you have to love them. You have to see the good in them. You have to kind of embrace all of the aspects of them. So it's somebody once said, one of my favorite actresses once said, acting is the most empathetic thing you can do. And I do think that's right. So it's a very empathetic profession when you get to the nuts and bones of it. And so becoming a therapist was actually almost like an obvious choice for me. So I started off as a hypnotherapist, and I did love that because I was able to work on the client's subconscious mind, which is very powerful. And that's when I started working on chronic pain, addiction, and trauma, because those things I found are very linked. And then I kind of wanted to do more. I liked the hypnotherapy because it was kind of creative in a way, because I would create like a little guided imagery journey for the client to go on based on what we'd been talking about. So that was the sort of creative aspect of it for me. But I still do incorporate that into my therapy, even when it's just talk therapy. I'm very creative. I'm always coming up with creative ideas. Like, for example, this is an idea I thought of. I was just telling it to a client of mine yesterday, and she said, wow, where did you read about that? I said, I didn't read about it, I made it up. So I call it your inner defense attorney. And the reason I think that's so helpful is because many, many people have this inner critic, of course, as we all know, right? The inner critic, the negative self-talk says, I'm not good enough, and you know, I thought, like, if you were going to have a court case and, you know, your inner critic is there saying all the things that's wrong with you, why can't you also have your inner defense attorney there, you know, advocating for you and saying, well, actually, you know, Madison's a pretty cool lady, and she's made all these improvements and, you know, all this, and she's got a good heart and all that. So usually the inner defense attorney, which I say is my creation, is somebody that the client knows, who they know really loves them, accepts them as they are without judgment and all that, so they can bring that to their subconscious mind anyway. So
I love that. I actually took a note on that. I am going to start
cool.
that strategy. God, I I don't even know where to begin. I'm just so amazed at how, to your point, like, you know, we have the subconscious mind that's so powerful. But what I want to dive into a little bit is, so you mentioned hypnotherapy. That's how you started. And you said you integrate that here and there. How do you think hypnotherapy can help entrepreneurs? Because I have a lot of entrepreneurs in my circle that, you know, they use therapy to help them, you know, just it's entrepreneurship is a difficult journey. We're lonely, lonely, we're critical of ourselves, it's never good enough. You know, I think it's one of the hardest careers to have because it has so many ups and downs, right? When you think you're doing good, something happens and the rug is pulled from your feet, and it's just, it's insane. So let's talk about a little bit about entrepreneurship and how they can use the inner defense attorney, I guess, to
Yes, well, of course, you know, and I've been an entrepreneur pretty much all my life, you know, because when I was acting, I always had to sell myself, which is the hardest part about acting. You know, it's not the getting on stage and being someone else, it's the selling yourself, right? And then when I quit acting, and even when I started off as a hypnotherapist, I had to sell myself as a hypnotherapist. So, you know, and then I've also run several things in my life, like I ran a swing dance club, and I had a tea house for a while, and all these things where I've been an entrepreneur. So I absolutely know what you're saying. It's very difficult, and I think the hardest thing is to continue believing in yourself. And by the way, I fall into those traps all the time. Those little voices that go, oh, you know, there's no way I can succeed. How come everyone else can do this and I can't? You know, all that stuff, which I know everyone has that voice. So hypnotherapy can help you both identify the little voice. And you might also, using talk therapy or psychotherapy, find out kind of the seed that was planted long ago. Maybe it was planted by something your parents said, or even something they didn't say, but that certain behaviors that gave you the idea that you weren't good enough, you know. So we find out kind of why that thing is there, that negative belief, and then we uproot it. And I like to say hypnotherapy is a little bit like, if you do any gardening, it's a little bit like weeding, right? So if you cut off the weeds just at the stem, you're not going to get rid of them. They're going to grow back and grow back. But if you dig them out by the root, that's when you really get rid of them. So that's what hypnosis is. Hypnosis is we dig them out by the root, and we replace them, obviously, with nicer flowers and plants that are life-affirming. So, you know, all this sounds really easy, and of course it's not, but but it's about sort of replacing those negative beliefs about yourself with more positive beliefs. Yeah, because you'll notice that anyone who's a success in their life has been through multiple failures, and they've gotten up again and, you know, started over, right? So I do like to remind myself about that too, you know.
Yeah. And it's good to know that there is help, you know, that we're not alone. There are ways and techniques and different things like hypnotherapy or just simply therapy, talking therapy, that people can use to get through the hardship of dealing with entrepreneurship. Yes. Let's talk a little bit more about your retreat. I want to learn all about it.
Yeah. Well, as I say, I have been a therapist for 15 years. I've been an actress, well, I won't say how many years, but since I was about 16. And by the way, I still do acting from time to time. So I guess what I really wanted to do is kind of marry those two sides of myself. I love doing the one-on-one. It's very intimate. And by the way, I do it all on Zoom these days. And I love it. I love working on Zoom, oddly enough. And I wanted to marry that with the more of the group stuff, which kind of takes more of the performer me, which obviously is still there too. So I wanted to find a way to bring those two aspects together, those parts of me that that I love, you know, working with. Also, I'm very aware of how a group experience can be really an enhancement of the individual experience. A lot of times people think, oh, one-on-one, you know, I want to speak to one person and they'll really understand me and this and that. But, you know, there's something kind of magical happens with a group, as I've discovered, because I used to work at addiction rehabs and they do a lot of group therapy. And what happens, and especially if you're with a group where you're together for an extended sort of intensive period of time, something happens. There's this sort of alchemy that is like, it's bigger than the combination of us. You know what I mean? It's like, because what happens is clients, they're not only learning from me, they're learning from the other people. And they also, they don't feel alone anymore because they're like, oh my God, James got just the exact problem I have. Or, you know, Susie experienced the same thing I did. Or, you know, so they don't feel so alone. They learn from the other people. And there's this sort of feedback that can happen and this connection and sense of belonging. And there's really nothing like it. And just, I can't give them that, just me, you know. And that's why I thought the retreat kind of fulfills all those elements. I was going to do an in-person, and then I got a little nervous about COVID and I decided to make it virtual. And thank God I did, because, as you know, I had COVID myself. And it's just a little scary to think that's still out there. So I thought, okay, virtual. And I kind of like the idea of being virtual anyway. As I say, I work virtual all the time. And there's still a lot you can do with virtual. So we're going to do a lot of creative activities in the retreat. And so why are we going to do that? Because I believe, it's my passionate belief, that creativity and nature are two of the most healing resources that are available to everybody, you know, and they're free. So, you know, if you want to paint a rock or something like that, you just get yourself a rock and some paints. And by the way, those are things that are given to the people, the participants in my retreat. I'm sending them a lovely rock I got from my creek.
That's so amazing. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I want to add to that, because I do believe creativity is for me, creativity is not, it's definitely healing, but it's also, it energizes me.
Yeah.
When I sit and think about new creative ideas, I get energized. And I have this one obsession, which, you know, maybe we can talk about this offline. Maybe I should like book a therapy session. But I realized that I'm obsessed with starting new companies. Like, I have an obsession with starting companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start it, and I'll literally do the hardest part, get it off the ground, take it from an idea, turn it, productize it. And then I'll start getting sales trickled in, create an infrastructure, system, process, all of that. And then 2-3 years later, I'm just like, okay, next. Okay. And I've been blessed to the point where a lot of the companies that I had started that way, I was able to turn around and sell it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, sometimes I'm like, wait, this is a pattern. Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Like, maybe, you know, there is an issue here I need to address. And I've never really talked to a therapist about it. But I realized recently, I was sitting and meditating and jotting down ideas as they were coming through. I realized that that's how my creativity works. My creativity likes to take things, actual creative ideas, and turn it into a real, tangible something that is helping people. That's my way of giving back to this society. And so what's your thought on that?
Oh, yes. Yes. You know, I understand exactly how you are. I'm a little bit like that myself. And I think the kind of the juice of it for you is at the beginning. The initiating. You're an initiator, and that's not a bad thing. Some people are initiators. Some people like to take that ball and run with it, you know. There's all different types of people in the world, and it's great because we need all of them, you know. So you're the person that lights the fire, that lights the spark, you know, and someone else can take that candle now and move it along and make it bigger and all that. But to you, I think you're a bit like me. It's like once you've started it, it kind of loses its interest, you know. You know, it's like, Okay, I can do that now. And I'm a bit like that myself, where once I'm good at something, once I've mastered it, once I've conquered it, I'm like, ah, bored with it now. Let's move on, do something else. Next challenge. Yeah.
Let's talk about your book,
Oh,
Another World.
yes. Thank you. Well, my book, I came up with the idea for it when we were right stuck in the pandemic in about like May 2020. We had just moved into our house in Weaverville, and we're very lucky here. We have an acre of land, and we were doing all sorts of stuff outside, and so we didn't have to be stuck inside. But I started thinking about this idea that wouldn't it be great if we discovered a parallel universe that was much better than this one. So the book is called Another World, and it's kind of a utopian vision. It's a little bit like The Giver or the Divergent series, if you've ever seen those movies.
Love,
I love,
love.
by the way, love the Divergent. But that's more dystopian, and so this is it's actually more utopian. So it's more something we would want to aspire to, or maybe it could, I would want it to inspire people to think, well, how can we make our world better? So that's kind of the purpose of the book. I see it as being not just a story. It's a story, yeah, and hopefully an entertaining story, but also I would like it to really inspire people in thinking, well, some of the ideas in the book, perhaps we could incorporate them into our world, make it better. So, really interestingly, is it, by the way, it's going to be published next year, April 2023. I'm very, very excited.
Congratulations. That's
Yes, thank you. So watch out for Another World by Madison C. Brightwell. And one thing that was really interesting to me was recently we went to visit a place called Cherokee, which is near here. And we got to go all around this Cherokee village, which has been preserved exactly as it would have been. And the actual Native Americans took us around there and showed us all the things they would do and told us a lot about the culture and the society. And I realized that a lot of the things in my book are the same. And I thought, now, isn't that interesting? Because I'm right here on Cherokee land right now. And I set the book right here.
wow, I just got goosebumps. You
I
must.
know, isn't that cool? That's just the coolest thing to me. And so, yeah, I really want the book to get out there and people to read it because, yeah, I just kind of want it to change people, and, hopefully to at least plant a seed to change people,
I can't wait. We'll have all the link to the book and all the details in our show notes. Tell me one thing that you figured out in your career specifically that you would say took you to the next level.
Yes, what I have figured out that took me to the next level was never, ever give up. That was something that I think it was Churchill who said that, and he's so right. People very, very often give up at the 11th hour, And if they just waited till 12, they would do it. You know what I mean? So don't give up if you've got a dream. Just you have to try this and then try this and then try this and then try this and if you really, 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 really want something, you're gonna get it, but you have to just do what it takes, don't give up and keep at it. So I think persistence is key. And there's gonna be a lot of times when you'll want to give up and you'll feel like, oh, why am I bothering? Something also that COVID taught me, having COVID taught me, is that if you want to do something, just do it. Don't wait. Because I suddenly thought to myself, gosh, we don't know when we're gonna, we don't know what's gonna happen tomorrow. So you might as well live now. And all those dreams that you have, let's do them now. Don't keep waiting for the perfect time and all that. Just get on with it. So, yeah.
That's great advice. And I hope a lot of people had the opportunity through the pandemic to really go inside and really listen to that voice and learn things. And I think a lot of people did, you know, it helped a lot of people in the sense that they were able to slow down a little bit and reconsider things and so on. What advice do you have for our listeners who have so many aspirations and they can't seem to decide on one thing? They can't decide on choosing one lane and they're just kind of in between a few lanes.
Oh, really? Yes, yes. Well, advise people on how to make a decision, I always say use both halves of your brain. You've got your logical half and then you've got your intuitive half, right? Your right brain. So your logical half, you can do all those exercises like, you know, pros and cons, this one and that one, and what's really important to me and prioritize it and all that. Make the lists and do all that logical analysis. And then the intuitive half, recently I had a client who was faced with a decision, a big decision, and I suggested she made a vision board about it. And she said that really helped her because she had gotten in touch with her intuition in that way. And of course, there's various different ways you can get in touch with your intuition. You can meditate, you can do hypnosis, you can do creative things like art, music, you know, dance, or whatever turns you on, writing, journaling. I have a couple of imaginative techniques to get you in touch with your intuition. So for example, one I like to use with myself would be if you have two decisions to make, hold one in one hand, one in the other hand, and see what they feel like. You know, does one feel heavier? Does one feel tingly? Does one feel warm? Do you see a color associated? Stuff like that. So that's really connecting with the intuitive side of you.
That's amazing. I never thought of putting a decision and kind of just getting a feel out of it. That's really hard.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try that. Madison, I wish I had you for another 20 minutes. I can't believe our time is up. How can our listeners get in touch with you, learn more about the retreat and then, you know, about the upcoming book?
Yes, yes. I would say that probably the best way is to send me an email, info@drmadisonbrightwell.com. By the way, I do have a Facebook group, which is all about creativity and healing. So if you shoot me an email, I will just email you back an invite to the group. It's growing really fast. I'm really happy. And you can also go to my website, which is just drmadisonbrightwell.com. Doctor with DR, and that's the best way to reach me, I would say, overall, for anything that you want to find out more about.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing all this wisdom with us, and we hope to have you back one day again.
Oh yes, well, thank you so much. I've had a great time. Thank you.
Thank you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3. SoCalArmenian.com.